You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. A little bit later in the program, actually, there will be a protest going on outside Stevenson High School as they call for a return to athletics and other such activities there. We will go live and talk to a parent as the parents and kids are protesting. We will also remember Joe Morgan a little bit later today. And I don't know if you've heard the story about the minks in Utah and then now in Wisconsin. There have been over 12,000 mink killed by coronavirus. They put down millions in Europe earlier during the pandemic. We'll talk to an expert from the University of Illinois about that. But right now, on a phone day, on this Indigenous Persons Day and also Columbus Day, is Andrew Johnson, the Executive Director of the Native American Chamber of Commerce of Illinois. Andrew, welcome to WGN.
Hi, Steve. Thank you very much. We really appreciate you letting us come on and share what we do.
Well, I want you to tell me a little bit about what you do. So you are part of the Cherokee Nation, correct?
Actually, I'm an enrolled member of the Cherokee Nation. Let me just start off real quick with a land acknowledgement that Chicago is located on the traditional homelands of the Council of the Three Fires, the Ojibwe, Odawa, and Potawatomi Nations. Many other tribes also call this home, but we want to honor their presence and their legacy here. So with our chamber, I really want to go back to the beginning of conditions that we are under here in Illinois, and why we started the chamber itself. Basically, we don't have a seat at the economic or political table. We do have a higher employment rate than other minorities, lower home ownership rates. We have fewer businesses that are owned or started by natives here. And actually limited business financial education for our students. And one of the things that is interesting is that there are no federally recognized tribes nor land here in Illinois. And that also makes things quite challenging for us.
Why is that, Andrew? I mean, I understand there might not be federal lands, but there's no recognized tribe in the state either?
That is correct, and that really goes back to understanding our history. So what did happen to the original inhabitants? And basically, the indigenous peoples were removed from Illinois with the 1833 Treaty of Chicago. A small band of Potawatomi were able to stay, but ultimately they established their tribal capital in Michigan. Beginning of the 1900s, there were very, very few Native peoples here. Mm-hmm. So what caused us to go from hardly any to the sixth largest urban population in the United States? Well, it's because of federal policy that occurred in the mid-1900s, right after World War II. Two acts were passed by Congress that affected us. One was the Termination Act. And the other was called the Relocation Act. With the end of World War II, it really occurred because of the atomic bomb. And they found that most of these minerals that were needed to support the age were on Indian reservations.
Right, right.
And so what they did was set into place a relocation. So how do we relocate these people on these lands into another environment? And so that's where you saw a tremendous influx of natives coming off the reservations into major metropolitan areas.
So you were removed from your land in the 19th century, and then in the 20th century removed again or given incentives to move off?
Moved again. Incentives were brought up, mm-hmm. with education, jobs, training, all that. But once that relocation, that move was made, those services were simply not available. Many, many came to Chicago, and you think of Route 66, it has its terminus here. So people would get on the bus, some not voluntarily, travel to these different areas, and then get off, and there would be none of those services available. So really, that's where the American Indian Center itself was started in 1953 to address this particular issue and pull together as a community to help and support each other.
How many American Indians, you said, I think you said it's the sixth largest city in the country here in Chicago. How many live in the area?
Well, with regard to Chicago, there's approximately 40,000. When we look at the Chicagoland area, there's about 60,000, and then in all of Illinois itself, about 100,000.
And why is it that Wisconsin, they have reservations in Wisconsin, right? So is that why they're more integrated in state government than they are here, than you are here in Illinois?
And that is it exactly. Because they had the reservations there, they were, you know, the state governments were had to work with the local native populations. So there were many other programs that were started and continue through this day with active annual regular meetings that occur between the tribes and their representatives and state governments themselves. So we're back to being behind that eight ball again. We don't have that kind of history here with the removal that occurred. And so this is one of the organizations that we've started to get back and make sure that we have that seat at the table.
And do you need assistance? I mean, I see on your CV that you went to USC. Congratulations for that. I mean, what is the need here?
It is a tremendous need, really, for the whole state of Illinois. We are sorely underrepresented. There are approximately 7,000 American Indian businesses throughout the United States that can contract with the federal government. Mm-hmm. They have that special relationship there. Only about 40 of those businesses are here in Illinois. So it is part of introducing availability to businesses, helping people start it, helping them learn how to deal with federal, state, and local governments and other organizations, too, to build their businesses, reach out, and provide those services and, help their economic situation in that particular way.
So how many Native American-run businesses are there in the area?
So we can raise that up a little higher as we look. So there's, but we're still talking about on the north side of 50. And these companies really go across the gambit in terms of industries that they represent. So construction, consulting, engineering, financial services, food processing, healthcare, manufacturing, R&D, all of those kinds of items. So it's quite a breadth. We just really need to work on that depth with more of those companies here.
This might be a ridiculous question. This is the city of neighborhoods. Is there a Native American, American Indian neighborhood in the city?
I've got to say, there used to be. It was up in the Ravenswood area. That was where we had our center for a number of years.
Right.
It moved a few years ago to Albany Park. But what was interesting was that there was quite a population there. But with gentrification, unfortunately, many of our people could not remain in that area. And so what you see now, we did a map a little while ago, and we're able to put down where natives lived, throughout the city and throughout the state. And it looked more like measles versus any really contained population in a specific geographic area. So yes, that's one of our challenges too. Is we are spread out. Difficult just geographically to all pull together and support. And so that's why we're reaching out here locally and statewide.
So
too.
Probably like in the 50s and 60s, they were more located on the north side because that's where the center was.
Exactly.
So the center, yes. The center came first.
The people came, and then because of the conditions, the center was formed. So it's been here for 67 years, and a center for cultural identification and participation.
So and you would like what from the state government? Just a seat at the table, or explain for me what you would like from the Pritzker administration?
Well, that said, seat at the table in terms of participation on commissions, programs, the departments. We don't have any elected Native Americans here within our state. We'd like to change that. I'd like to have an advisory council to work with the state government with regard to Native American issues here. That would be something that would be ideal.
We're talking to Andrew Johnson. He's the executive director of the Native American Chamber of Commerce in Illinois. You know, Andrew, we're talking on these days about removing statues and names from the past, and it just strikes me that your name is Andrew Johnson, the successor to Abraham Lincoln, who signed all kinds of treaties that removed Native Americans from their land. That has to have occurred to you before.
It has. I think that's quite ironic, and something that we work with and have to deal with every day in terms of our lives. I think when you think about it, the term Indian itself, it really hit me when I was in India, Asian, mm-hmm. on business, and people would ask me, "Well, you know, what's your nationality? Your heritage and that?" I could not say Indian there. I did not feel rightful to do or comfortable, but it really showed me what a misnomer just that particular designation is to the indigenous peoples here.
And yet, you use it. You don't say Native American.
I say, and it comes back, what's interesting is you really have to ask the individual. In fact, I'd start a talk out with, what do you call us? Do you call us Indians, American Indians, Native, Indigenous peoples, and that? And I have to say that former Governor Rauner came out and spoke at the center while he was running for office. And the first thing he asked me was, Andrew, what do I call you people?
Right.
And so I want to make sure that people are aware. Some individuals are very adamant about what they should or should not be called, but I would just like to recommend, ask the individual what their particular term is, because some of them go by their particular tribe or with other generic names that are there.
Andrew Johnson, it was wonderful talking to you. Thanks very much for your time today.
Absolutely, Steve. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News on 720 WGN.